So, a very good evening, and thank you very much for attending this little cheeky Knutsford Beer Festival 2022 recording session, and this is episode 3. So, a little bit of background about what I do. I know everybody around the table knows what I do, but a little bit of background on my involvement with the Beer Festival. I think I was one of the founding members way back in 2014. It seems like a lifetime ago now. And it was, I absolutely loved getting stuck into it, actually. It was a brilliant sort of community event. And you got a huge sense of engagement with everybody in the town centre who decided to, you know, who wanted to attend and take part in it. And it was really quite cool. But on this instance, we've got quite a few people on this episode that are going to talk about this year's festival. So joining me tonight is Colin, Mike, and also Sandra, and we're all going to talk about a few different things. So, I mean, loads of people know about the Beer Festival, but for some of us who don't know about it, I think it's well worth sort of going into a little shallow dive on what the Beer Festival is. So over to you, Colin. What can you just give us a cheeky overview on what Knutsford Beer Festival is all about?
It's quite a simple process, really, that the group of us, as Jonathan said, set up in 2014, to raise money for local charities. And it's something that we all sort of enjoyed by way of our own admissions of liking beer, I suppose. So from that point of view, raising money, enjoying yourself, having a good few days of making fun. From my point of view, and I think from Mike, who sat opposite me here tonight, we sort of came into this through originally organising the Oktoberfest, which ran for a few years, and then Andrew invited us to join him to get involved in this.
That's brilliant. So let's give listeners an idea about location and when it is and where it is. So give us a breakdown on where it's going to be this time.
This time it's in what's the newly named Edgerton Place, which a lot of people will know as the former Marshall's Auction Rooms on Church Hill. The place is due to have a planning permission submission reviewed in the next few weeks. I was talking to the owner earlier today, actually, and he's very grateful for what we're doing by using the place and putting it to what will be, hopefully, one of its future uses. It's going to be a community room come wedding venue available for the local people to hire for the future.
Excellent. So, as far as other years have gone, obviously the location's different, and we're smack back in the town centre again, which is good. What's fundamentally new this year that we've not actually seen before?
A few new bits this year is the progression, really, to more keg beer than we've had in the past. We're going to be ending up with 1/3 of the beers as a keg beer and 2/3 cask, which is a generational thing, really. It suits the customers, and it's the way forward in many ways.
Yeah, I think it's good, the fact that the festival isn't sticking with a sort of standard beer festival motif. It's actually moving with the times.
It's a modern festival. It's not one where you would stand there with your dark, musky beer all night. We've got some very interesting local beers, both cask and keg, and some that which are very unusual.
No, that's good, because I think the we were speaking with James at Mobley Brewhouse, and he was talking about some of the beers that they're supplying, and we did get a chance to sample a few during the other recording session, and it was quite nice to sort of get stuck into some quite lighter, quite hoppier, very flavoursome beers as well. It was really good.
James is very enthusiastic, and you know, as you just said, you were there the other night. Mobley Brewhouse have come on board with us this year in a big way, and helped us out. So we're very appreciative of what they've done.
So everybody likes a good knees up as well. I mean, it's not just all about beer. So I know there's other things as well, and we'll cut across to Sandra to give us a sort of intro on masterclasses and other things. But what sort of entertainment have we got going on this year?
We've got a relatively small stage this year compared with what we've had in previous years. So we've got a selection of local groups and artists all wanting to show their wares, as it were. They'll do quite a few cover versions of things and keep it fairly light. nothing too heavy this year.
Brilliant, brilliant. So, as I alluded to earlier, Sandra has some, you've got some information. You're going to give us an update on masterclasses. Now, I know we've done masterclasses before, but I think this is, there may be, I don't know whether there's a twist on it or something different, but could you just explain what are tasting masterclasses for the uninitiated?
I will. This is my first time involved. Andrew Malloy roped me in to get involved, which was great. I have been as a punter a few years back, which shows as a non-beer drinker how inclusive it is and how good fun they can be as well. So Saturday afternoon is the masterclass session, and that is the session that's also family friendly. So it's included in the ticket price. So there's four of them. The first one kicks off 15 minutes after the beer festival opens at 12:15. And that is with the lovely folks at Tatton Brewery, Greg, great supporter of the festival. I don't know what beer he's bringing. It's all a bit of a surprise.
Okay.
Probably three or four to taste and try. But he's also said that he's going to do beer bingo. I have really no idea what that is.
Does anybody around the table know what beer bingo is? Sounds very interesting.
I think it's every time he might mention like a word, like cask. I don't know. Some brewing technique. They're all going to get cards and then they have stamps.
How interesting.
This is what I've heard. So,
do you have to sink about six pints if you win?
I don't know. So when you shout full house or full cask, I have no idea.
Full.
But so that is what is happening at 12:15. This is all included in your ticket price. So I'll give you a raffle ticket. So I'll probably be on the door for whatever one you want to go to. And then you just turn out. I think it's upstairs. The one at 1:45 is Laura at Twisted Wheel Brewery in Warrington. So she's coming down. A game with some beer, no beer bingo, but I don't know. Maybe beer scrabble. I have no idea. But come along to that, so that would be good fun. And then just across the road from here, 2:30, will be Katie Rickett from Dexter's and Jones. She's going to, I think, do their house gin tasting session and their house rum as well. So she'll talk you through that, which would be great. And she'll probably bring her little gin, I'm not quite sure what it's called. It's like a gin teapot. Sort of some sort of thing as well. She uses that at the Taste Knutsford tours quite a lot.
Hi, I'm Katie Rickett, and myself and my husband Adam own Dexter and Jones. So on the Saturday of the beer festival, I'll be running a gin masterclass where I'll basically be bringing the three gins that we make ourselves with local distillers for you to have a little try of. That's the best bit. And we'll also talk you through the story of how they were made, where the ideas came from, and of course, the best botanicals to put with them. Now, Dexter and Jones is a craft beer, gin, rum and wine specialist, and we're hoping that you might pop in and see us afterwards as well. But do join me at the masterclass where we can all have a nice little tibble together.
And the last one, finally, is the lovely guys across the road from here. We're based on Silkmill Street, which is Knutsford Market, Morgan Edwards. So they're going to come and do some wine tasting. They might bring some nibbles from the market. I'm not sure.
So we're very excited for the upcoming beer festival. It's our first year there as well, so excited for the day. But yeah, on the Saturday afternoon, you'll find us there doing tasting events. So we'll talk you through how to taste wine, what to expect, and we'll bring some of our fantastic wines along for you to try. And then we'll be there as a wine bar over the course of the weekend as well. It's always a busy event, so very excited to be part of it and to showcase some of our fantastic wines.
So they're all the masterclasses. That one's at 3:15. They all last about half an hour. And then the session on Saturday finishes at 4.
Brilliant. I like so the fact that because they're not it's included in your ticket price. It means people haven't got to think about having to buy more, you know, either extra tokens to go and get into there, which I know Mike is going to explain how the token system works. But so just talk us through booking. Obviously, there's going to be limited availability on these. So how do you, is it a first come first serve basis? Is it book online?
I think when you arrive, I'll be on the door and you can just tick which one you want to go to and I'll give you a raffle ticket.
Prudent advice to maybe get there.
Get there earlier than later. Yeah.
That sounds like a good little collection of side events there that are going to be informative. It's not just a question of come and have a glass. It's actually it's an education element to it, yeah, which is quite cool.
It's all supporting like local businesses, independent businesses as well.
No, that's really good.
And if you come early, you get lunch as well. So there's some fantastic food vendors there.
Yeah,
so
there
you can grab something to eat and then go for the sessions.
Mm. Nice. I like it. Just a bit of sort of layering. Nice. Right. Michael, let's jump into how things are paid for, because obviously no one's going to just rock up with pound notes oozing out. I'm going to try and hand over cash over the bar to pay for beer, because we know from previous time, well, it's just not feasible. So going for the payment mechanism, which is the token system. So just talk us through the token system, how that works and why it's much more effective.
Okay, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. It's a system that we have used now since the very start. And basically what happens is you come into the festival, you buy a set of tokens, as many as you want, and you use those. That is your coinage, that is your means of purchase for the rest of the evening. A few years ago, we moved from paper tokens to nice little pink ones, so they add a touch of class to the proceedings. You can buy as many as you want. You can buy more. You can top up and buy more later on. And you can pay by card. I mean, in fact, card is probably preferable. We have a card reader now, so that's really convenient. Obviously, we'll take cash as well, but it seems that nowadays people like card. I mean, we're moving to cashless society. And so look forward to that and come and buy your tokens.
Go on.
I think the thing within the venue, once you get in and buy your tokens, everything within the venue is then to be purchased with a token. Mm-hmm. And that includes the food vendors, the Morgan Edwards setup with the wine and the gin, and obviously the main bar.
Yeah, absolutely right. This time tokens will be a pound for a pink one. As Colin said, you use it for anything you want to buy.
That's pretty good. So the tickets are a tenner. What do you get with your £10 entry? Because obviously it's not just like you're in. I know there's obviously some extras, some accoutrements. So what do you get?
Yeah, I mean, obviously £10 gets you into an amazing festival. That goes without saying. The next thing is everybody gets a free glass, a festival glass that you can take with you if you want to. But you also need that glass to actually buy your beers as well, because that is what you're going to get your beers in. And you get two tokens free of charge included in there, which you can now then exchange for a drink.
Nice. Yeah. Now, with all of this beer sloshing around everybody's bodies, there's going to be something, or there are some things, to absorb it all. So food stalls, who's going to be there this year? And what can festival goers expect food-wise?
I do like the graphic description of all that beer that's sloshing around. My experience, actually, we collect a lot of statistics on how much beer people buy, and actually, so far, nobody's complained about the slosh factor in the beer. But we do have food stalls there as well. We deliberately try and open the festival up to local food providers, because we want to try and get some really interesting food providers there. And this year we have the Flaming Gourmand, who specialize in high-quality meat dishes. Everybody's had their... they do weddings as well, and everybody's had their food absolutely raves about it. We have... Mobley ice cream. Now that is a new one that we've not had before, so that gives something for people who want something sweet or a dessert or just like ice cream. And then we've got Cypress Cucina, and they seem to have an excellent halloumi, which people rave about. So we've got something for everyone, and I'm certainly looking forward to it.
Nice. Does sound really quite tasty, actually, that.
We have got non-beer stuff as well, haven't we?
That's a good idea.
Got
actually.
Gin, we've got wine, fizz, prosecco, and we've got non-alcoholic beer, haven't we? Which is provided by sponsored by Barclays. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And then we've got ciders as well. So that's something we started introducing gradually. And when we first did this in 2014, it was purely beer in casks. And what we realised was that there were a lot of people who like going there for the party, and we've already alluded to it. It's not so much people standing in corners with their half pint of beer. It's people who want a good time. And to help support that, we just started introducing things like the gin bar, and we've got Prosecco. We've got all sorts of drinks there. So it will be a really good evening.
As a non-beer drinker, because I've been before as a punter, and I really liked it when you introduced like sort of non-beer stuff. I always tried a couple of beers because I felt like I should. But then I did move on quite quickly to other things. But it was really nice. But the festival was really nice and it's really friendly. They're not all serious sort of like...
I don't think it's at all serious.
No. And it's all for charity, isn't it? And it's all for charity.
But I think the mix of drinks is really important because it makes it makes the festival appeal to everybody.
Yeah, it does.
I think that's one of the good points there that's just been raised. It's all for charity. This year's charities are the Toy Appeal and the primary schools Bundfall.
It's the Knutsford Primary School Ball, and I think, because I used to go to that a lot, and it's a really good idea. So there's a nice big ball in June in Toff Road, Toff Cricket Club, isn't it? And the funds from that go to all the PTAs across the schools. So it's
divided
a really
out between
good
the
way.
Schools.
Yeah. So it's a combined charity fundraiser.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
That's good. No, that's really quite cool. Now, previous years, we've had quite a few different glasses over the years. And I think we've got a different glass this year as well. So I did have a sneak peek of it the other night. So do you want to describe what's different? I know it sounds a little bit trivial, a glass, but there is something quite unique about this type of glass.
We've moved on in many ways from what we had 6 years ago, really, with a tankard, which was very traditional. We then went for a stemmed tulip-shaped glass in the last couple of events. We've now gone for more of a dumpy tumbler, which is more of a modern style. It takes a variety of drinks. It is measured in 1/3, 1/2, and 2/3 increments for measure. But it's also suitable for gins and things like that as well. So a multi-purpose glass.
I have a funny feeling.
I like it.
Yeah, I think they're going to be... Yeah. I think they're going to adorn many a Knutsford glass cabinet for many, many years. I mean, I still got the tankards. I think I've got at least two boxes of the tankards.
I think we've all got two boxes of
tankards. You actually could bring them with you because we might need them for the masterclasses.
I think, actually, I quite like them. They're a collector's item.
The collector's items are the tulip ones.
Yeah, I've got two of those.
I've got some.
One is unused. The one has been dishwashed to death. Which now has just a faint hint of beer festival on it, but it's still a lovely glass to drink out of. But having sampled it out of these new ones, it actually feels quite modern actually, and it's brought it really up to date, which is quite cool.
And all thanks to our sponsors for those really, because that's their standard glass from their own establishments as well.
So if the weather does get a bit warmer, what's the process to keeping those beers nice and chilled?
We've got a cooling system which runs off a small compressor and unit, and it's something that we had made for one of the previous events. It's basically a copper loop system which we fit into the top of each cask, and that runs through the cooling system, and it's completely independent. So it's like a mini refrigerator unit slipped inside each cask of beer.
Well, that's quite cool. And how about the...
Literally, yes, it is.
Yeah, very cool. It's very cool. That's a cheesy cliche.
And obviously then the keg beer comes through a chiller through the way it's served anyway.
Of course, which gives it that, which will make it super refreshing as well, especially if there's going to be quite a few of the session ales. That'd be quite nice as well, I think. So... let's talk about location for tickets. Where do people go and buy the tickets? Is it shops? Is it online? Where do they get tickets from?
All ticket sales are online. Just basically go to the Knutsford Beer Festival .org.uk website and follow it up from there to obtain tickets.
Just Google Knutsford Beer Festival, you'll find it. It's the only organisation that comes up, so
it's a good job, actually. Yeah. It is a good job.
And follow us on social media as well. Yeah.
What's social? I don't know
all the handles, but it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Right, and again,
it'll
just
be
search.
At Knutsford Beer Festival, probably. Yeah.
Got it.
You were the person who dragged everybody from shop to shop to get sponsors.
Actually.
I'd cornered the owners of the shops.
Actually, the sponsorship was a proper mission.
It was.
I can't remember who I'd spotted an idea on Twitter where someone, when they sponsored an event, held up a poster and they tweeted it. And I thought, it was somewhere in the US. It wasn't in the UK. It was somewhere in the US. And I thought, we need that. We're doing that. And I just printed off some posters that we could do something. Yeah. And literally everything. And that was, I had it in my mind. We were going to raise all the beer money, all to buy every single cask. So obviously, leading on from my sort of efforts initially with sponsorship, it's grown legs. It's quite a bit of a mechanism, and we've got more. So Sandra, give me a background on now. What's the process?
The range of sponsors we've got as well is sort of represents the eclectic nature of the festival. So we've got sponsors ranging from Nuts for Dry Cleaning, Wine and Wallop, through to Evolving Sound, who do movie trailers. Saving Grace Events, which he runs the Tatton Park Pop-Up Festival, Station House, which is the building being refurbed right by the station, Jack Richard Transport doing the wristbands, obviously we've mentioned Mobley Brew House. We've got a whole sort of range of different sponsors. What's unique about it is that they sponsor a keg or a cask, or they can sponsor the fizz, the Prosecco, the gin bar.
No, I think this part of this part of the sponsorship is actually the bedrock to ensure that the all the beer purchasing is bankrolled. Because I mean, I know there's throughput through the festival accounts, but this provides the initial kickstart to actually get rolling ahead of the main sponsors potentially being able to give us their chunk of change, as it were.
I'd like to sponsor. Can I do that?
Yes, you can. Okay. I'll
put
speak
me down.
To you afterwards.
Yes, please. Yeah.
He'll pay you in beans, though.
Will you?
Beans.
That's fine.
Well, actually, here's a question for you. And this is, if we're going to be fully modern, and we are using a token system.
What do you want to do? Pay in cryptocurrency?
Why? Bitcoin.
Is there an opportunity to pay in crypto? Michael.
Michael, that's a very formal way. Michael.
I mean, of course you can try and pay in crypto. I mean, it's not something we thought about very carefully for now, so you're putting me a little bit on the spot. The other thing we'd probably just need to think about is whether the authorities might take an interest in our sudden increase in crypto activity. But, I think, Jonathan, it's a fantastic idea. I think we should embrace new ideas, and certainly we'll put that on the agenda for next year's festival.
There we go.
Is that an invite
back into the committee, by the way?
You get landed with some nice jobs if you do.
Well, crikey. Well, if it involves podcasting and videos and a bit of broadcast, I don't mind. Well, I'm going to draw it to a close. I think it's been a really interesting session, and so I'd like to thank you very much indeed, everybody, for attending tonight's recording.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thanks.
Thank you.
This episode has been co-produced by Jonathan Farber and Rachel Bishop for the Knutsford Beer Festival. This has been a podcaster production for Knutsfordia.com.